why did you decide to run in this election?
Well, that's a great question. The timing for me worked very well. I've always wanted to be involved in politics, but being involved in politics is different. It's not a Monday to Friday 9-to-5 job. So there are certainly demands on your time, as there should be. You know, you're representing a riding, in our case, the geographical, you know, size of the riding in itself is different, and there's needs and wants in different areas within that sector. So all that to say, you really need to be on. It's a 7-day-a-week job, and you need to be able to give it your all. I was raising children and working and doing all those things that everyone else has done in their life. However, for me, I always felt it would probably, if I had run when my kids were earlier, there may have been some competition in terms of my time. And I didn't want to, both of those jobs are very important, and each of them have their time. So my kids needed me when I was younger, so I didn't want to compromise any of those time issues. So I actually waited to, my youngest just graduated this year from virtual high school. So I felt that the timing was right for me on a personal level to throw my hat in the ring. And I also felt that there was a lack of support for Fundy Royal in Ottawa. I felt in some areas that the progress had sort of been at a stalemate for a long time in this area. We've had spurts of it when we've had different parties come in for smaller periods of time, but overall, I felt like we're at a precipice here, recovering from COVID-19. Tried and true methods are not necessarily the best way to go forward. We needed innovative and progressive thinking, so I thought it was timely, and that's why I decided to throw my hat in the ring.
Now, what made you want to be part of the Liberal Party?
Well, again, a very good question. I mean, you really have to think about it, because you have to be passionate about it, because it does take a lot of your life to run a campaign and to offer your services for a riding. It really is. It's a selfless job. But the Liberal Party's ideology, it matched well with my own core values. Their inclusiveness is part of their platform, having a gender-based cabinet, supporting all women's rights to choose, and all of the other pieces that make it more inclusive as a party. And other important issues like a greener, cleaner future, putting a price on pollution and ending plastic waste. All of these things, they match my own core values. So it was an easy transition for me to walk into a Liberal MP position. So and you really have to believe, you have to have a vision for the future of the area that you're representing, and also as your country as a whole. And the Liberal Party, with their support for universal health care and the Canada Pension Plan and all the other programs that they put in place, just specifically even just for COVID-19, to ensure that the Canadians had food on the table and lights on in their houses and heat in the wintertime, it was, for me, it was an easy choice to pick the Liberal Party.
You may or may not have been doing this, but door-to-door campaigning, if you were, then great, you can answer from that perspective. If not, what are you hearing from your constituents as you talk to them?
Well, no, we have done, of course, it was a quick campaign, too. So not only COVID was certainly a factor in how we campaigned this time around, but, and also it was a 5-week turnaround. And the geography is huge. For anyone who isn't familiar, the Fundy Royal riding for the federal government starts in the Kingston Peninsula. It includes Quispamsis, Hampton, Sussex, Petitcodiac, Riverview, parts of Riverview, and Salisbury, and then on down to the other side to Hillsborough, Riverside, Albert, and all the way down to Elma. So it's a huge geography. So to actually do door-to-door knocking in every one of those communities would probably take, and this is no word of a lie, because I spoke with Senator Joe Day, who actually did this back in the day, and it took him 2 years. so that's sort of out of the question. And when you put that in play with COVID-19, it almost made it impossible. But I did do some door knocking and a lot of phone calls, probably more phone calls than anything else. But what we're hearing universally from people at the door and on the phone is to continually fight against COVID-19. I mean, that is at the foremost of everyone's minds right at the moment, just continuing this fight. We're hearing more out of Alberta, how they are knee-deep into a fourth wave and now have to put stricter guidelines in place in order to protect the citizens of that province so they can get around. So that's still on everyone's mind. We want to get back to perhaps maybe it will be the new normal, but some sort of normal so that we can kind of freely move about. So that is for sure one of the key. Housing and rent control have certainly come up as well, because COVID-19 has spurred the housing market, and provinces like New Brunswick have been probably the recipient, in that we've got a lot of new residents coming from other provinces and paying large prices for the homes and driving the pricing on homes here in Fond du Royal up significantly. And it's hard for people who are locally employed to afford those prices. So that's come up. And roads. Can we just talk about the roads? We've gotten so many people talking about fixing Route 114 and some various other roads that are in bad repair within the riding. Unfortunately, that's not directly under the jurisdiction of the federal government. However, we can provide funding, and we will provide funding, especially in routes like 114, which are in bad need of repair. And we can work with the provincial government to ensure that those repairs take place in a timely manner.
Healthcare, of course, has been under the microscope in the last few months or even longer, amid this pandemic especially. So we all know New Brunswick's facing a huge shortage of both nurses and physicians. It is up to the provinces generally to, you know, deliver healthcare. So what would you do to help address this problem?
You're right. It is it's provincial. A lot of these are provincial, but I mean, the federal government has certainly a role to play in that. And excuse me. And we do have a plan for that. So the federal government will be providing funding to hire 7,500 new doctors, nurses, and nurse practitioners across the country. But specifically for areas like Fond du Royal, we have some rural needs, and so we have an even more difficult time, first of all, attracting that level of expertise into our communities and then retaining them. So we do have some individual programs for rural communities, and one is increasing rural access to healthcare. We talked about providing a greater access to the full suite of healthcare and social services professionals through greater student debt forgiveness. So we're pushing that by 50% from $40,000 to $60,000 for dentists, pharmacists, dental hygienists, midwives, social workers, psychologists, teachers, and early childhood educators. So not only to attract those people to come to our communities, but actually to stay there. We're actually helping rural economies grow by a regional development agency called FedNor, and making that a standalone agency by 2023. And we have launched a rural and northern immigration pilot to provide skilled newcomers to small communities and help local economies grow. So we do have a number of incentives to not only keep or entice people to come here, but also stay here within the smaller communities, because that will be continue to be an issue as we go forward. As we expand telecommunications, the network for internet as well as telecommunications, we will continue to offer services like we will have telecare for specialist appointments, and even having an appointment with your own family doctor, we can now do that. And I think COVID-19, that's one of the things that have been a benefit that have come from COVID-19. Realizing that you don't necessarily have to go to an office to sit and wait for a doctor. You can actually have a virtual appointment with them and get the same service depending on what the needs are of the patient. And it's really great for communities that have limited access to specialists as well. So to have that kind of virtual healthcare network in place will help support our rural communities in Fond du Royal as well.
Businesses have been struggling over the past year and a half because of the pandemic as well. If you're elected, what would you do to support them?
Well, there are a number of initiatives that we have for businesses right now. As we all know, that we had the CERB for our workers, but we also had the Canada Recovery Hiring Program, and we're extending that now to March the 31st, so businesses can hire more workers and you know, Fundy Royal people can get back to work. We also we know that the tourism industry is probably one of the hardest hit industries from COVID-19. And we are providing the industry with a temporary wage and rent support of up to 75% of their expenses to help them through the winter program. And in New Brunswick specifically, and it has been approved in the 2021 budget that the Liberals put forth in the spring, we have offered a $1 billion package of tourism support for the local tourism businesses and festivals. And we are introducing a $50 an hour minimum, federal minimum wage, that really will help, especially those people in the tourism industry, because a lot of them are minimum wage earners, to get back out there into the workforce. We are supporting the digital technology. We know that that's the future of our country and our world as we go forward, and it's really beneficial for rural communities like Fundy Royal. So we want to help small businesses afford the cost of the new technology with micro grants of up to $2,400 and zero interest loans for larger projects so that we can address all technological challenges that maybe a smaller organization may be encountering as they try to expand in this digital world.
The pandemic has also affected Canadians as a whole right across the country. So what will you help or what will you do to help everyday middle-class Canadians and those who are struggling to get ahead at this point?
Well, there's a couple of initiatives that we have directly. So to talk about employment, I think we can put them in three categories. Well, we've already talked about healthcare and how we want to support Canadians with healthcare. There's also housing, and then there's also one of the key and fundamental programs that we're introducing with a re-elected Liberal government. And we already have agreements with seven provinces and one territory, is a $10 a day child care. This will be significant in boosting the economy of all Canadian workers across the country. The $10 a day child care, I don't know if people understand what has happened in some of the larger provinces across this country. We are now facing what we're calling a she session, and that means that most of the women are out of the workforce. And why is that? It's because in the larger provinces especially, they've had to stay home and help their children go to school. I mean, people in Ontario, in Quebec, Alberta, British Columbia, and some of the larger provinces have had to homeschool their kids. It's all been virtual since the start of the pandemic. So if it's been almost impossible, women, for the most part, have been the primary caregivers, and they've left their employment so they can take on that role. So they need to transition back into the workforce, because that will not only provide them and families across this country a very affordable way to go back to work, but they will also add to our economic growth by you know, buying and being part of that economic sort of cycle that contributes to the success. But individually, as we go forward on as an employment for individuals, we'll be introducing a new EI benefit for self-employed Canadians, providing up to $15,500 when it's needed most. And then we'll be expanding the workers' benefit to support an additional 1 million low-income workers with up to $1,400 a year and lifting 100,000 Canadians out of poverty. We also have, we'll be doubling the union training and innovation programs to $50 million a year to support more training opportunities and target more participation from women, Indigenous people, newcomers, persons with disabilities, and Black and racialized Canadians. So we're doing a lot to support Canadian workers to get back to work for sure, but also just to make life more affordable as a whole. So those were probably our key things. One thing I forgot to mention with the for supporting businesses, we do also have we have an immigration reform going on as well, trying to expedite the process of getting workers from outside the country back into Canada and being able to fill some of these much needed areas, especially healthcare. That's one of the areas that we need more skilled workers, and working with the provinces and other legislative bodies to kind of recognize some of their international credentials here in Canada as well.
Affordable housing, obviously, is another issue that's a huge mm-hmm. concern. Year over year, New Brunswick saw the largest increase in average rent prices. So if elected, what would you do to address that and help those who are having a hard time with it?
Well, you know, that's another great, great question. And that is something we've heard at the Doors, for sure. The Liberal government has a three-prong approach to helping out with this housing crisis that we're looking at today. And it I have to say, it's very innovative, and some of these will be groundbreaking and really beneficial to young Canadians, especially in some areas, but all Canadians for sure. So we have a three-prong approach, as I'd mentioned. So we have unlocking home ownership. We have building more homes and then protecting your rights. So unlocking home ownership will help renters become owners and save for down payment faster, reducing the monthly cost on mortgage payments and doubling the home buyer's tax credit to help young Canadians buy their first home. We're also introducing a first-time home tax-free savings account of up to $30,000. So that allows Canadians to save up to $30,000 without paying any taxes on that, and pulling that out to buy their home and not paying taxes on that as well. So that's very beneficial. But I'm really excited about a rent-to-own program that we're unveiling as well. So we'll be working with builders across the country, and especially here in Fundy Royal, so local builders and suppliers, to negotiate contracts so that people who want to go in and buy their homes can actually come into an agreement, and within 5 years they will have accumulated enough money for a down payment on that house, and it will go into a purchase and sale agreement after the five-year period. So it will be really beneficial for young people trying to come up with that money, because nobody wants a home given to them, but they certainly want the fair chance of acquiring one. So I think that'll help tremendously. We've also committed to building, repairing, or modifying 1.4 million homes over the next 4 years, and introducing, especially in some of the larger homes, you'll see in Hillsborough and Sussex, some of these older areas that have these massive homes, encouraging multi-generational families to sort of take those homes and providing funding to modify those so you could actually have two families living in the same residence, kind of thing. And then the last piece will be protecting your rights. And we'll be creating a home buyer's bill of rights. That'll make the process of buying a home fairer, more open and transparent, and ensuring homes for people and families. It will include like banning blind bidding that we're seeing a lot of now, establishing a legal right to a home inspection, and banning new foreign ownership for the next 2 years. And additionally, we will put some guidelines on rent evictions that we're hearing, people's rents going up almost double to what they're currently paying. We'll actually put some guidelines in place so that we can check those before they go forth.